Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our study today. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher today, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless the saint of God listening today, that you'd edify and build them up in the things of the Lord. And Father, if there's a lost soul today, a soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they place their faith and trust in His shed blood alone for the payment of all their sins and to secure them a home in heaven. Father, now we commit this time into your hands. We ask that you'd have your will in your way, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. If there is any word that sums up what most Christians know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is probably the word of ignorance. You see, there is much misinformation available upon this topic today, and the effects of the devil's efforts to confuse this issue are abundant throughout Christendom. The problem is not new, however, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, faced it in his day, particularly with the saints in Corinth. In fact, Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, we read this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." We begin by asking the question, what are spiritual gifts? A spiritual gift is a specific talent or ability that is given by God the Holy Spirit to individual believers in the local church. These gifts are given to assist that church in its goals of glorifying Jesus Christ, reaching the lost with the gospel, and edifying one another until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In several cases, the individual and the talent are both called a gift. For example, both the word teacher and teaching are identified as spiritual gifts. As we ask the question, what are spiritual gifts, we see, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is the source of the spiritual gifts. We read in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and verses 8 and 9 the following: "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Second of all, as we look at what are spiritual gifts, we see that every believer is the target of the spiritual gifts. Again, we turn our attentions to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 14, and we read the following: "But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through verse 6, the beginning of verse 6, the following. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Scripture appears to take it for granted that every, and I stress, every believer in Jesus Christ has one or more spiritual gifts. Both of the passages that we just read make the simple connection between believing in Jesus Christ and having a spiritual gift. And thus it appears that attaining one or more spiritual gift is an automatic benefit of salvation. Again, we're asking the question, what are spiritual gifts? And so far we've seen the Holy Spirit is the source of the spiritual gifts. Second, we saw every believer is the target of the spiritual gifts. And the third thing we want to see, several purposes exist for the spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at seven. Seven purposes that exist for the spiritual gifts. The first one is, spiritual gifts assist in running, in the running of the local church. Again, spiritual gifts assist in the running of the local church. We turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 4 through 6, and we read the following. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The second purpose we want to look at for the existence for spiritual gifts is spiritual gifts emphasize the importance of every member of the local church. Again, spiritual gifts emphasize the importance of every member of the local church. You see, spiritual gifts equalize the membership of the local church, because every believer has a spiritual gift. Every member is vital to the effective ministering of that church to the lost in the community and to the saints in its membership. No member can be considered less important are not vital to the work of God. Physical age, spiritual maturity, gender, race, education, and material wealth all become virtually non-issues in light of the need for every member to exercise the gifts they have been given by God. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 13 to 14, and then verses 23 to 24 in 1 Corinthians 12. And we read the following: "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. In our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked." Again, we're looking at several purposes that exist for the spiritual gifts. The third one we want to see is spiritual gifts produce unity within the local church. Again, spiritual gifts produce unity within the local church. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, we read the following: "That there should be no schism," and schism is another word for division, "in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another." And then we see the fourth purpose that exists for spiritual gifts is that spiritual gifts help to perfect the saints in the local church. Spiritual gifts help to perfect the saints in the local church. Number five, spiritual gifts help the work of the ministry of the local church. Number six, spiritual gifts edify the body of Christ. And number seven, spiritual gifts help protect the church from false doctrine. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 together. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 11 through 14 together. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14, we read the following: "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Let's quickly review then, as we've been looking at what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see, first of all, the Holy Spirit is a source of the spiritual gifts. The second thing we looked at was every believer is the target of the spiritual gifts. And we just got through looking at the several purposes exist for the spiritual gifts. And we saw seven. One, spiritual gifts assist in the running of the local church. Two, spiritual gifts emphasize the importance of every member of the local church. 3. Spiritual gifts produce unity within the local church. 4. Spiritual gifts help to perfect the saints in the local church. 5. Spiritual gifts help the work of the ministry of the local church. 6. Spiritual gifts edify the body of Christ. And number 7. Spiritual gifts help protect the church from false doctrine. Next, we ask the question, what are the spiritual gifts according to Scripture? Again, what are the spiritual gifts according to Scriptures? First of all, the spiritual gifts, we want to look at the spiritual gifts as identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts as identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. And we read the following. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now let's look at the spiritual gifts as identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. We read the following. And God has set forth in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So what we're doing is we're going through and we're looking at in the scriptures where the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are identified. And so far, we've looked at two lists. The first list we looked at was in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Then we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. And now we're going to look at the spiritual gifts as identified in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The spiritual gifts as identified in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And we read the following. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then we're going to look one more place. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts as identified in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we read the following. In verses, first we want to go to verses 7 through 8, and then verse 11 for the gifts. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And here they are listed in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, again, the four places where the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are identified in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Again, we're looking at what are the spiritual gifts according to the scripture, and we've gone to the passages where they're identified. Now we want to turn our attention to two divisions of spiritual gifts. The first division is the temporary spiritual gifts. And under that, we're going to look at special case of the apostles and prophets. Now, if you were with me last time, we saw in our study last time that the gift of apostle and the gift of prophet were special positions given by the Holy Spirit to the early church in order to form its foundation. Now, this foundation would include the actual formation of the early local assemblies as seen in the book of Acts, as well as putting into writing of the church's foundational doctrines, in other words, scripture. Once the New Testament scriptures were completed, and the first churches were firmly established, all of the necessary components were in place for local churches to thrive. Something they have done now for almost 2,000 years. Thus, the apostles and prophets were temporary gifts to the church, and eventually fulfilled their purpose. Now let's turn, as we're looking at this point of the temporary spiritual gifts and the special case of the apostles and prophets, let's turn our attention now to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Ephesians 2, 19 through 21. And we read the following. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Again, we're looking at the two divisions of spiritual gifts. And we're looking at the temporary spiritual gifts And we've looked at how this, we've looked at the special case of apostles and prophets, and now we want to see that some gifts are specifically identified as signs. Now, the Bible clearly defines several of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as signs. Now, this point is extremely important, because in the previous study, we saw that signs had specific purposes for being given, and that those purposes eventually ceased. We see that the gift of tongues and the gifts of healing are identified as signs in the following verses. First, we want to turn to Mark chapter 16 and look at verses 17 and 18 together. Mark 16, 17 and 18, we read the following. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Look also with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. We see also other gifts identified as signs by inference. Though not specifically identified as a sign, the gift of the interpretation of tongues would be a sign because of its relationship to the gift of tongues. Likewise, although not specifically stated to be a sign, the gift of miracles would be, by definition, be a sign. Miracles are spoken of as synonymous with signs on many occasions in Scripture. Let's look at some verses. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, we read, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then Acts chapter 8, verse 13, we read, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Well, we've just about run out of time on the pastor's study. When we meet again next time, we'll continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.